Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, the day of the church year in which we celebrate that God is really confusing. The Trinity, the belief that there is one God of all the cosmos, that is at one time three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet still just one being. This doctrine was heavily debated for the first couple of centuries of the church, dividing congregations, communities, believers, and even kingdoms in the ancient world from one another. Some rejected the notion that the Son of God lived eternally with God the Father, while others took Jesus at his word when he said, "The Father and I are one." Ultimately, this essential doctrine of the Christian Church was established as the foundation of Christian teaching and belief through the formation of the Nicene Creed at the First Church Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. However, even though the creed forms a litmus test for true Christian teaching over against what is considered heresy, it has been resisted and even outright rejected by various religious movements through the centuries that have followed. A bedrock belief of Islam, which arose from the teachings of Muhammad in the 7th century AD, is that Allah, God, is not three in one and one in three, but only one. The Mormon Church was founded on Joseph Smith's claimed revelations that Jesus was not born as the Son of God incarnate, but rather became a God later through his righteous example and holy living. Jehovah's Witnesses, also called JWs, organized around the notion that Christians read the Bible wrong and have misinterpreted the true name and nature of God, Jehovah. Though when they come to my door, they never stick around long enough to study the original Greek New Testament with me. Strange. All this is to say that the sacred, mysterious belief that God is at the same time one and also exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has long been both accepted and rejected as long as it has been around. Some struggle with the belief on logical grounds. How can something be one thing and at the same time three things? It does not really make any mathematical sense. Others struggle with the doctrine of the Trinity for spatial concerns about where God is really at in the world. How can God be in heaven and on earth at the same time? And isn't hell supposed to be a place of complete separation from God? How can God be in heaven and in hell at the same time if Jesus is God? And as we say in the Creed, Jesus descended into hell, the realm of the dead. Still others have biblical questions about the person of Jesus being at the same time fully human and fully God. If Jesus was truly God, why does the Bible depict him as not knowing everything all the time? If Jesus is the Son of God, why didn't he do more to bring true and lasting peace to the earth before he died? If Jesus is truly the Son of God, why did he have to die at all? I, on the other hand, am deeply appreciative that God has opened the church's eyes to understand that God does not exist in cosmic isolation, but is always and forever in community. When the Father created the heavens and the earth, the Son and the Spirit were there for the assist. When the Son died on the cross and rose again, the Father and Spirit were present and part of this miraculous death and resurrection. When the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep at the creation event as recorded in Genesis, the Spirit was not alone, for the Father and the Son were present and active at that moment too. God has never been alone, and as creatures formed by this eternal entourage, we have never been alone either. I suppose a major reason that I love to contemplate our God's existence as eternal community is that I spent many years struggling to feel accepted in the world around me. Some people like to think of their pastor as living the perfect, unscathed life that transcends a lot of common problems others face. But this is not my reality by any means. And definitely was not my reality through my middle and high school years. I was kind of a weird guy. And though I had friends, several of those friendships did not last all that long. And I was left feeling like I was destined to be alone because my personality could never really sync up with others. Yet in the midst of these long experiences of isolation, God was always there. In fact, God was there for me more so when it seemed like nobody else was. Through my faith in Jesus Christ, I found the peace that the world was surely not giving me, and I slowly began to trust that I was not alone in the world just because I failed to connect with others like I could have. One of my favorite Christian authors, philologists, and lovers of myth seems to have had a similar connection with our triune God when he was growing up. Most of you are probably familiar with the British author J.R.R. Tolkien, who is known for his famous works, The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings trilogy. They have since been made into Peter Jackson movies, but I'm going to get on my high horse for a second and say that if you like the movies, read the books. It's good stuff. What you may or may not know about Tolkien, the author, is that his experience of growing up in the world was more difficult than most. He was born in South Africa, where his father was a British banker, handling money and loans for the burgeoning mining industry developing there. Yet before Tolkien was even 5 years old, his father fell ill and died very quickly. This left him, his brother, and his mother with scarcely a penny to their name, as they were forced to live in the graces of family members back in England in order to survive. They got by, but getting by became even harder in the year 1900 when his mother, Mabel, converted to Catholicism from her Baptist family background. This was unforgivable to her family members, who shunned her and her two sons from the family forever afterwards. Their separation from family support became even more dire a few years later when Mabel also became sick and died when Tolkien was a mere 12 years old and his brother even younger. At that point, the boys became wards of the Roman Catholic Church and the priest, Father Francis Morgan, became their guardian. They were raised in the church's care until they were old enough to go on to school, Tolkien at Oxford, and very shortly afterwards, sent to the trenches of the Great War, commonly called World War I. Now you might think that someone as smart and as talented as Tolkien would reflect on his challenging circumstances and think that if God is real, then God stacked the deck against him. It would be easy to conclude that since his father had died, his family abandoned them, and then his mother had died, that a God who intervenes in history for the good of God's children either does not exist, or if God does, did not love or care for people like Tolkien. But in Tolkien's case, the opposite was true. When he was abandoned by the death of his parents and the coldness of others in the world, he drew even closer to God, trusting that he was not alone. He knew that every good gift he had was from the triune creator of the universe, the triune savior of the world, and the triune sustaining spirit that will never leave us or forsake us. Tolkien knew that he was not alone in the world, for he had an eternal entourage, an eternal fellowship, if you will, always behind him as he journeyed through life. He knew that God is never, has never, and will never be alone because God has always been eternally three in one. And he had a deep trust in the truth that since God is never alone, we will never be either. Friends in faith, there are many challenges in our lives that can make us feel like we are alone, unloved, and even unworthy of anything good. Nevertheless, we trust and put our faith in a God who is forever in community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together as three in one. This eternal entourage has existed longer than any of us can imagine, and will continue on as a holy community long after all of us have left this earth. God is never alone because God is always one, but also three. And because God, the one who formed our very being, is never alone, we will never be alone either. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.